Before I start, we have this theme song that we decided to sing every time we start. It's called Share Him. And I'm just learning how to sing it. So the ones who were here with Matt yesterday and the day before, you guys got to help me too as well. So just take this off. Sure, this thing come off. It does. Here we go. Just leave it right here. Let me get the notes. So here we go. Ready? We are called, we are chosen, we are sent to go. We've been given a message. Hear the call, you're the one. Will you go share him? Share him. There's a story to tell. Share him. Every tribe and every nation is waiting for you. Share the hope, share the truth, share him. There's a field with a harvest, but the workers are few. Are you ready and willing? There's much to do. Your heart has a mission. Answer the call, you're the one. Will you go share him? Share him. There's a story to tell. Share him. Every tribe and every nation is waiting for you. Share the hope, share the truth, share him. Praise the Lord. Wow, I'm glad you guys taught me how to sing that. I did well. I'm not very, I don't have a musical ear. You might have noticed it. If you didn't, praise God. But it's a good song. What? So that, the title of the sermon, it's called, His Eyes Are On You. His Eyes Are On You. Okay, so let's pray. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit will fill us, Lord, and fill us with divine encouragement. Inspire us, Lord. Speak through me and speak to me and us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever felt like there was someone watching you? Like there was someone lurking behind the bushes as you're walking in a forest at night. And you look into the darkness and you think there's somebody out there. The wind blows softly, the tree sways. Then the bushes move. You look. Oh, it's just a squirrel. And you keep going. You go to the gas station, and you just can't help it but notice but that there is someone in the corner of your eyes watching you buy that snack. They don't want you to steal. You go to the cash register, and you look at the corner of the room and you see a surveillance camera. And you realize that everywhere you go, there is someone out there that's watching you. I'm not trying to make you paranoid or anything like that, but we are in the world where almost in every corner we are being watched. From the satellites that's orbiting around the Earth can actually zoom in into a face of a penny and actually catch the detail of it. Everyone is being watched. And I want to let you know that there is a person behind the scenes that has been watching you from since you were a fetus in your mother's womb. Since you've been growing up in kindergarten, going through school, there has been a person who's been watching you. You know, I found this person eventually in the room by myself. I was reading this book called The Great Controversy, and I felt his presence. I actually felt him talking to me, and I realized that there was someone watching me. And there's someone watching you. There has been someone who's been looking at your life. I prove it. In 2 Chronicles 16, verse 8 and 9. Turn with me to your Bible, with your Bibles. It's on the screen, but I want you to recognize it in your own Bible as well. Second Chronicles 16, verse 8 and 9. When you get there, say amen. 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 Praise God. It says, "Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord thy God, he delivered them into thine hand." Oops. Put that back. "He delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of him whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein you have done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." This was said by the prophet Hananiah to King Asa. And King Asa, he was a good king, the Bible says. Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. He was a good king. And God gave him rest over his land for 10 years. But there was a threat. A million man army from Ethiopia came to eradicate Judah. And he was just in this troublesome dilemma. So eventually they came face to face. And Asa, he had no choice but to pray to God. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "It is nothing you to help." It said, "Lord, it is nothing with you to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Lord, help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you. We rest in you. And in your name we go against this multitude. You are our God, and let not man prevail against you." And once he prayed that, they ran out to go meet the army. Then the Bible says, the next verse, in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 12, "So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." And the Bible doesn't tell us how God struck them and what way he did it, but whatever they saw, whatever God did, it caused 500,000 of them to run. And God gave them this great victory. Judah destroyed a million-man army. This impossible feat. And that caused a great revival in the land of Judah. And everybody came back to God. They threw away their idols. And he was just rejoicing. Several years later, Asa, he has this another threat. It's not as big as the million-man army, but he has a threat from his people. Israel. And instead of calling on God, he asks for a Syrian king to help him out. And God was offended by that, because the maker of the universe, who has all power in his hands, he didn't ask God, he asked a man. So God was offended. And he sent this prophet named Hananias, and he came unto him and said, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the God, thy God, Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of him whose heart is perfect towards him. Amen. Herein you have done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And at the end of his story, it is said of Asa that in the 39th year of his reign, which was like 3 years after that, he was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but the physician, but to the physician. And the sin was not that he went to a physician, but that he sinned against his past experience. He saw how God wrought this great miracle for him, but yet he just did not go to God. His stubborn pride said, no, I'm not going to go to God this time. I'm going to try to defeat this myself. And you can sense in this verse that God was willing to help him. God was willing to heal and do a great miracle just like the way he did before. Because by the time this sermon is over, you're going to remember this verse. It's going to be memorized. Because for the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of him whose heart is perfect towards him. Amen. Now, let's look in the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord. What are these eyes? In Hebrews 4, verse 13, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, or to give an account. So everything is seen by God's eyes. From a small water drop in the sky to neutron and neurons revolving around atoms that make up all matter, he sees it all. He sees everything. He sees the daily commute of man, all the activities that you see every day, men going to work, going to school, trying to hold a social life, eating, playing, sleeping, drinking. He sees it all. Worrying, crying, laughing, jumping, playing. He sees it all. God sees everything. In Proverbs 5, verse 21, it says, and the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his doings. He sees that, he thinks about everything that man does, everything that you do. And it says that in Proverbs 15, verse 3, that the eyes of the Lord is in every place, beholding the good and the evil. So even as there are kids playing and laughing in one side of the earth, he also sees war on the other side. But I want to let you know about this God who's here every time we think that he's not there. I'm talking about a God who's, when you think that no one cares, he's there to see your tears. When you think that nobody hears your despair, God is right there, so near that you can't even feel him or hear him. God sees it all, and he feels it all. When you think that nobody actually is there, God's there. And this is what Noah has found out. In Genesis 6, verse 8, it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So while everyone in the antediluvian world was thinking evil and just corrupt thoughts, Noah, somehow, he found God, and he looked into his eyes, and he saw something different about God. He saw in the Creator's eye a love that you cannot imagine, a self-sacrificing love that thought that you were so important enough to die for, who believed that you were worth more than his own son. Noah saw these loving eyes, and he found grace in them. And these are the eyes that run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And David, he asks the question, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? What are you? That God would come down here and look at you, watch you from birth to your death, who will watch you as you're dead in your grave, waiting for you to come back again, waiting for you to resurrect. Why are you so important? See, God thinks that you're more than anything else. That's why he sent his son for you to die. And look what these loving, all-seeing eyes are doing. They run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So it's like God is looking around throughout the whole earth, just looking around. And he runs this way and he says, Moses, I can use this person. I can use this guy to set my people free. Then he runs to this person and he says, oh, this guy Isaiah, I can use this man. Then he runs to a man who's in jail reading his Bible. He says, oh, if this guy is about to repent, I can use this man to get the people in jail. Yeah, right. Then he runs to another man and to another man. He runs to a person named Justin reading his Great Controversy. He says, man, I can use this guy to preach or something. He runs to and fro throughout the whole earth. Doesn't matter if you're black or white or Chinese or young and old. He's looking for anybody. Anybody. That means you. And his eyes are on you. His eyes are on you. And he runs to this man named Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. I can't speak, God. So can you imagine? God is, as even when you were a fetus, God is thinking about you. He is wondering, oh, how can I use this man? I want to use this guy in some way. God, he is thinking about, how can I show him my love? Oh, that's right. I created a sunset. I'll make a beautiful sky for this person to see. I'll give him a tongue to taste how good life is. I'll give him ears to hear how beautiful music is. I'll give him eyes to see how beautiful life is. And you know what? I will use this man I'll give this man a destiny. You know, he's been looking at each of us all this time. All this time. And you might be saying, well, but God, he can't use me. I'm shy. I'm timid. I'm not worth anything. God don't care about me. Like Jeremiah, ah, I'm a child. I cannot speak. Or Moses, I'm slow in speech. I stumble over my words. God, what's wrong? Why are you looking at me? But Jesus, he gives Paul this promise in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. It says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So in other words, when you're shy and timid and weak, whatever it may be, that's okay, because the less of you, the more of God. Amen. You know, when the less of you is talking, the more of God is talking. When you're weak, God can show himself strong, and he will get the glory. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Because I really don't think, I'm not a speaker. I don't like to talk, really. I really don't like to talk. a person can try to keep a conversation with me. They would say, "Hey, Justin, how you doing?" "Fine." "Where are you from?" "New York." "Where in New York?" "Brooklyn." "This guy don't like talking." But somehow I'm out here preaching, talking about the Word of God as if I talk all the time. That's why. That's why it says in 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of him whose heart is perfect towards him." God wants to show himself strong on you. He's looking right at you. And like he said to Jeremiah, don't say I am a child. Because age doesn't matter to God. Whether your excuse is I'm too young or I'm too old, it doesn't matter. God is infinitely old and young or whatever he is. It doesn't matter to him. So, and he wants to make himself strong in you somehow. You know, I love playing racquetball, and I think I'm one of the best racquetball players in the world. You know? Especially at school. And when I'm playing someone that's almost as good as me, I do not want to stop my game to have someone else to play. But, you know, I have to be kind when someone calls, "Can I play?" And I'm playing a game, a tense game, but then someone says, "Can I play?" "Yeah, sure, you can play, you can play." And, you know, there's an expert, and then there's a rookie, someone that can't play. And, you know, in racquetball, you can play at one-on-one or two against two. So guess who I'm going to pick to be on my team? I'm going to pick the rookie, because I get to do stuff for him. I get to show myself off. I get to show the two experts that I'm better than they are, and that on this rookie's behalf, I can show myself strong. I can take his ball when he's about to get it. I'm like, "Look, man, pow, 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 pow." That's why God wants to show himself strong in you, because one thing God doesn't have is weakness. He doesn't have weakness. We have weakness. And he chooses us to win the great controversy. He chooses to become man and die on the cross. Look like a weak, puny sinner, like everyone else. Just look like it. To win the great controversy. What a mighty God we serve. He can win a game by being weak. You know, in Psalms 21, verse 13, it says, "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So we will sing and praise thy power." Because, you know, I love to see God show off. I would love to see God show off himself, show himself strong. You know how in superhero movies or whatever it may be, you just can't wait till Superman show his strength? You know, I can't wait till this humble God who chooses to be invisible right now, who chooses to be quiet almost every moment of the day. I can't wait till he just shows himself strong, and let's say there's a hurricane and I say, "God, stop the hurricane," and God stops the hurricane. I just can't wait till God just shows himself off. I would love to see him do that. Yeah. I'd love to see him do it. And he showed himself strong in many ways. We see it through all through the Bible. God showed himself strong when Moses, when he used weak, meek old Moses to go to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And 10 plagues came down on Egypt. And he crossed the Red Sea. He showed himself strong in doing that. He showed himself strong when Joshua prayed and said, "Lord, stop the sun." And God stopped the sun. Or in actuality, he actually stopped the earth from moving. And the people on earth, they just saw the sun I was like, oh, the sun has been up there for a day. What's going on? And I can imagine when God stopped it, the whole world just tripped over. People were walking. Oh, what just happened? The world just stopped. God showed himself strong when he did that. God showed himself strong when Elijah prayed that fire would come down from heaven. God showed himself strong when David, he killed a lion, a bear, and he killed a giant. And he was young. God showed himself strong when the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fire. I can imagine they were thrown into there and they were screaming, ah, I'm burning, oh no. Oh, whoa, I'm not burning. Whoa, hey, Shadrach, stop. You're not burning. You're not burning. Yes, I am. Don't you see the fire? No, you're not burning. Oh, yeah, I'm not. Wow. Hey, Meshach, you're not burning. We're not burning. The Lord saved us. Wow. Whoa, who are you? I'm the Son of God.
Amen.
Wow. God showed himself strong in that situation. And, you know, he wants to do the same for you. Like the way he wanted to do with Asa, but he sought not the Lord. A lot of times we don't seek the Lord enough. When he wants to do something great. God showed himself strong with Samson. When he defeated 1,000 men all by himself. No, he defeated 1,000 men with a jawbone. While everyone had swords and spears, he had a jawbone. That's amazing. God showed himself strong when he saved, he had Peter walking on water. You know, and I spoke about that on Wednesday. That's amazing. He showed himself strong when he healed the blind, the deaf, the leopard. He showed himself strong when he turned the water into wine. He showed himself strong when he saved a sinner like me.
Amen.
He showed himself strong. He says, what is easier? To forgive a man of sins or to say, get up and walk. God wants to show himself strong in you. He sees you important enough to actually look at you and say, man, I want to use you. I want to do something great with you. But in 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of him or them whose heart is perfect towards him. Is perfect towards him. In other Bible versions it says whose heart is complete or loyal towards him. In other words, our hearts must be completely surrendered to Jesus.
Amen.
Completely. He wants to answer our prayer like he answered Jesus' prayer or Joshua's prayer. We all need to surrender ourselves to Jesus. And where it says towards him, it means like in the way or in his way. So we have to be in his purpose, in his way, doing his will. When we're doing his will, there is no limits to what God can do. There is no limits. Because then sometimes God, he has to start over and try to have you to repent and then the process of faith building you back up again has to start over. But if you continue to do his will, there is no limits. No limits. So Jesus is waiting. He is waiting to enter your hearts. He is waiting to do some great things with you. Because he sees you important enough to watch you. His eyes are on you. You know, Matt Teakum, he spoke about the Great Commission to go into all the world and tell everybody about this gospel. And Asa, you know, we're not faced with a million-man army like he was. We're faced with something even more worse. We're faced with approximately 3 billion people who have never heard the name of Jesus. Who have never heard the name of Jesus. And God, he wants us to go into all the world. And this mission, it sounds impossible. It sounds impossible even to go to a next door neighbor. But God is waiting. He will show himself strong in you. Doesn't matter if you're shy or timid. Doesn't matter if you think you're too young or too old. His eyes are on you. And he's waiting. You know, as we play the song, I Surrender All, or sing it, let's turn to our hymns right now. Is it 312? 309? My Bible, Jesus. There you go. Yeah. That's great commission.
To Jesus.
Can we hum it? Just hum it. You know, 2 years ago, I had this bad experience one day. It just made me feel like giving up my Christian life. I just felt like I didn't want to pray anymore. I was in my room and I was getting ready to sleep, and it was my custom to pray before I go to sleep, but I just did not feel like praying. I just said, Lord, I'm such a hypocrite. Such a hypocrite, Lord. And eventually I fell asleep. But something kept telling me inside to get up and pray. But I said, Lord, I'll talk to you in the morning. Eventually, I went to sleep, and I had this dream that Jesus was just, he just got up from my bed or something, and he walked off into the room somewhere in my house. And I woke up, I was so excited. I said, Mommy, Jesus is in the house somewhere. Jesus is in the house. Go talk to him and tell me what he says. I wanted to talk to him, but I kind of felt ashamed because I didn't pray to him. So she went, and she talked to him, and she came back. And she said, you know what he said? I said, what'd he say? He didn't say anything theological or deep. He just said this powerful statement. He says, I'm coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And I was so excited that I was jumping up and down doing backflips. I was so happy that I woke up with a smile on my face. And I was like, man, he's coming. He's coming. And that whole day I went through, I mean, it just went out the window. I just forgot about it. And I woke up and I just prayed to God. I said, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for the encouragement.
Amen.
He says, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And I noticed something about that, what he said. He didn't say, I'm coming soon. He just said, I'm coming. I was like, Lord, how'd you know? That's right, Lord. You know that I hate the word soon. I hate the feeling like you're not going to come in few years or decades, Lord. I hate that feeling. He just said, I'm coming. You know, Jesus is coming. He is coming. And I don't care about how young you are or how old you are. God wants to use you to get this message into all the world. I know this is impossible with us, but with God there is nothing impossible. And he is looking. His eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. A strong Redeemer, a strong Savior, a strong coming God. So that when you see his face in the clouds, you get to say, Lord, thank you. You use me to reach 1,000 people in India. Thank you, Jesus. You have used me to reach this man who reached another man who won China over to you. Thank you, Lord, because we conquered America. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus wants to use you. Doesn't matter of your age. Now, as I pray, make goals in your life and pray some impossible prayers to God, because he is looking. His eyes are on you. Will you put your eyes on him, on faith? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Jesus, for your promise that you're coming, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for watching me, Lord, all this time, watching us, Lord, since we were small fetus up to this very moment. I ask that we will make decisions, Lord, for you to do some great things, Lord, in your name. Let us not be like Asa and try to do things by ourselves, but to seek your face, seek you, Lord. Lord, do some great things with us and help us to reach the world. There's 3 billion people that need to hear this message. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.